In the book of Mark, chapter 16, starting with verse 14. This is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, we're about to bring the snakes out so you can handle them here in just a few minutes. I shouldn't have said that. Somebody's going to edit that down and make it sound like I... Jesus told the disciples they were hiding under oppression, fear, doubt, didn't know who they were, didn't know what was going on. They were shook. They were wondering, what have we got ourselves into? We left everything and followed Jesus, and now he's been crucified. And now the Romans are after us, and the Pharisees are after us. Everybody's after us. We don't have any friends. Our families think we're crazy. Amen. They were sitting in a situation where they didn't know what to do, and they felt very, very oppressed and afraid. And all of a sudden, Jesus came to them and rebuked them for their unbelief. Amen. And said some very strange things to him in the situation that they're in. He didn't come in and say, guys, I know it's been rough. I know you got a lot of people against you. I know, you know, they've said bad things about you, poor little thing. I just, you know, I'm sorry. I know I got you in a bad place. I know this is all my fault, and I just hope you can get over this. Isn't that how we feel today? Amen. Praise God. People want to be petted today. I got to tell you something. We don't need to be petted. Praise God. Amen. And if this is rubbing your fur the wrong way, just turn around. It'll rub it the right way. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We can fix that real fast. Jesus did not. Tell them, I'm sorry for what I got you into. But instead he walked in and he rebuked them for their unbelief. And then he said, now go out and preach the gospel to the world. They were hiding. They were afraid to even get out of the room. And now Jesus walks in and says, get out of your safe place. Quit crying and go preach the gospel. Amen. Why? Because what Jesus came to do didn't have anything to do with anybody else. He didn't say, if the Roman government will allow you, preach the gospel. If the Pharisees don't get upset at you, preach the gospel. If the Sadducees don't try to throw you in jail, preach the gospel. No, he never said that. He never said, let's take a vote and see if we ought to do this or not. No, Jesus appeared to them and said, now go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. I believe it's Matthew, he says, baptize them, make disciples out of them. Praise God. In other words, Jesus is saying, no excuses. We didn't come to this point to throw our hands up and try to hide. This is the time that we step forward, and this is the time that we make it happen. Amen. And then he told them, he said, in my name, go cast out demons. In my name, speak with new tongues. In my name, heal the sick. Jesus did not come and give them an out. He came and gave them a commission. And today, we still have that commission on us. As a church, we are commissioned to preach the gospel to all the world. We are commissioned to preach the gospel to everyone. It is not our job to convince everybody to give their life to Jesus Christ. It's our job to give them the opportunity, and if they receive, if they believe, they will be saved. If they believe not, they will be condemned. Amen. I used to feel like it was our job. We had to convince everybody. Well, that's almost an impossible task. Well, it isn't impossible. Jesus couldn't do it. How could we do it? I mean, his own family didn't believe. They ridiculed him. They tried to stop him until the resurrection, and then they became his preachers. Amen. Sometimes you got to just simply keep going and let God show who he is before people are going to believe anything. Amen. Praise God. Quitters never achieve anything. Amen. Praise God. When things get rough, that is not a time to sit down. I preached the other night out of Psalms 137 where they said, by the river, we sat down. And we hung our harps on the willow trees. Because how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I'm going to tell you, this land's getting strange. Amen. I don't recognize it. Praise God. I was thinking the other day how simple things was when I was young. You know, just we'd play outside. I had a bicycle that when I got home from school, nobody ever saw me because I was on my bicycle and I was covering country. I was having adventures, and we never worried about it. My parents didn't worry about that. They should have because there was. Well, we don't need to tell all that. Amen. But we didn't worry about people stealing us or selling us into sex trafficking. No. Amen. It would have been hard anyway because when I was on my bicycle, I usually had my high-powered BB gun strapped to me. And if anybody would have tried that, they would have been shot. I guarantee you. Amen. I could back German shepherds down with that thing, and I'll guarantee you I could have backed anybody else down with it. Because I could rapid fire, and that thing was powerful. Amen. I patrolled my neighborhood. Yes, I did. There were some kids on the other side of the water tower that was not allowed. They picked on my younger brother, and they were no longer allowed on my side of the hill. And every day I would patrol my neighborhood and my area to make sure that there was no enemies had come over on my side of the hill. And every once in a while they would, and a firefight would ensue, and we would drive them back to the other side of the hill. We, meaning me and my BB gun. We didn't worry about a lot of this stuff, but today we can't let our kids out of our sight. We have to hang on to them. But the only nightmares I have, if I ever have a nightmare, is always about trying to protect my grandchildren. I have repeating nightmares about trying to protect my grandchildren. Amen. And in my nightmares, somehow my dream world can't separate from reality, because in my nightmares, I'm as old as I am now and I can't do much. I can't shuck and jive like I used to. I mean, you know, just it's hard to get things going. But we didn't worry about stuff like that. This world is getting very strange. It's hard to even recognize a lot of stuff anymore. I mean, some of the stuff that is being passed right now, some of the stuff our government's doing, some of the stuff people are doing, you just sit and you just shake your head. You think, I don't, what universe do they live in? Where did they come from? What in the world is going on? Some of the laws they're passing, you know, this marijuana thing that just got passed. People are so stupid that they didn't read it. And the government knew that if they dangled recreational marijuana in front of people's, and they would vote for it, but it was just a clickbait. It was just something to get people locked in. Behind it was CRT. Behind it was political officers in every school enforcing CRT and taking every parent that stands up against them to court as domestic terrorists. In other words, this ridiculously ignorant state just voted communism into our schools. Now, if that scares you, we will give you an affidavit saying that you wasn't here today. Only in body, not in spirit. We have got to reconcile ourselves with the strangeness and ridiculousness that we see going on around us and decide, what am I going to do and how am I going to take a stand? Who am I in the day that I'm living right now? Am I going to sit down by the river and weep and cry and hang my harp on a willow tree? Or am I going to hear the words of Jesus that says, get up, go preach the gospel, cast devils out, heal the sick, go and do what I've commissioned you to do? We've got to decide what we're going to identify as. That's the big statement now. What are your pronouns? Amen. I'll tell you what my pronouns is. I'm born again, blood washed, spirit filled child of God. I've been changed, redeemed, and transformed by the power of God. I've been filled by the Holy Spirit, and I have a fire burning inside of me. I identify as a son of God. I identify as a brother of Jesus Christ. I identify as a called, anointed, and sent child of God. That's what I identify as. Amen. Hallelujah. And in this crybaby time we're living in, nobody has a right to criticize my pronouns. Come on, somebody. I told everybody for Halloween I was going to dress up as the scariest person in America today, and that is a white Christian conservative preacher with a really bad attitude toward liberalism. Amen. I could clear whole communities out. I mean, you know. Praise God. I'm sorry, I don't play patty cake. You just got to get, amen. This isn't rock. We don't do rock, paper, scissors here. We just jump right in the middle of things. We have been commissioned, and we've been called and ordained to preach the gospel. Amen. Jesus, the disciples, were always concerned. They kept saying, are you going to establish the kingdom at this time? What they were saying was, are you going to kick Pilate out? Are you going to kick, you know, Rome out? Are you going to, what are you going to do? Are you, they was expecting him to take over and set up his kingdom on this earth right now. Jesus didn't come to set up a physical kingdom. What he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you become endued with power from on high. That's what he came to. He came to fill people with the power of the Holy Spirit and to redeem them so that they could do what he called them to do. In other words, Jesus kind of felt like everything else was inconsequential. He wasn't too worried about it. Amen. I like when he'd stand before Pilate. And Pilate, feeling powerful, said, do you not understand that I have authority over you? He's wanting him to defend himself, and Jesus just kind of smiled. Well, I mean, that's Snyder commentary. You can find that in 3 Timothy 2 and 5. Jesus said, you have no authority but what's been given to you. In other words, what Jesus could have said was, just not too long ago in the Garden of Gethsemane, I yielded to let you have power. Because when they come to arrest Jesus, they said, we're looking for Jesus. He said, I am he, and they fell down as dead men. Jesus had to resurrect his accusers, the people that come to arrest him. He had to give them power to arrest him. And then he's standing before Pilate, and Jesus is standing there thinking, oh buddy, you don't understand. Just a few hours ago is when I yielded myself to this in the Garden of Gethsemane, and if I hadn't have done that, you wouldn't be standing here right now. Amen. He had power and authority, and he knew who he was. Oh man, could we preach that for a while? He knew who he was. He knew what he'd come to do. Amen. We can't be confused. We got to know who we are. Amen. You wouldn't believe how many people in the church has looked me in the eye and said, who do you think you are and what do you think you're going to do? Amen. I say, well, I think my name is Tim Snyder. I'm a child of God, and I think I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. Amen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I can feel some pacifists in here today saying, oh, don't talk like that. Don't rock the boat. Listen, I don't rock the boat. I do a cannonball into the boat. Amen. Praise God. We don't rock the boat. We dump the boat over. Amen. Praise God. Some of you introverts right now are just wanting to crawl in a hole and say, "Woo, praise God." I know I brought bother some of y'all, but listen, praise God. We don't need to be apologetic. Amen. I mean, some of y'all approach, if you see somebody's been hacked on Facebook, you have a hard time telling them because you're afraid they'll be offended because you told them. And when you finally do call me, you know, I think possibly because you sent me friend request, and you know, if you don't want to be my friend, that's fine. I mean, if you block me, I mean, you know, you don't have to be my friend, but if somebody hacked you, then I just want to let you know that you've been hacked. But you know, it's okay. Whatever. If you don't, you know. And then there's extroverts like me that says, "Hey, you've been hacked. Get things straightened up." Amen. Because I'm fixing to block you. you might as well have fun at this. Amen. My notes got blown out of the water this morning, so here we are. There is a command and we're not gonna, that's not gonna be voted on. Amen. There's nobody gonna tell us. In China, the church in China, it's illegal to preach the gospel in China. And yet, it's the fastest growing church in the world. Amen. They are on target to be the largest Christian group in all the world. Millions and millions and millions of people giving their life to Jesus Christ. They see miracles of people being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just constant. You know why? Because they understand that the commission of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with what the politicians say. The commission of Jesus Christ has everything to do with Him who sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He is the authority. He's the one that we stand for. He's the one that we answer to. Amen. And if they tell us you can't preach that, what are we going to do? We're going to preach that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, I come up under people that was like that. They didn't ask permission. They just did what Jesus commanded them to do. Amen. Praise God. Most of you probably don't even know who R.W. Shambach is. A lot of people just don't know anymore. You don't know what you missed. Amen. I mean, the guy was amazing. He didn't back down from anything. There was times that they would come, the police would come and shut down the meetings, and my dad would when Brother Shambach arrived, my dad would go and tell him, say, you know, Bob, he called him Bob, R.W., Robert, called him Bob. And he said, Bob, he said, they've locked this place down. They said you can't preach. You know, Brother Shambach do? If it was in an auditorium and they locked the doors, he would get right out in front of the auditorium and start preaching the gospel. He'd start laying hands on people and praying for them. You know what they'd do? They'd arrest him. Amen. There's always bailing the guy out, you know. I asked somebody the other day, they was asking me what I was going to do. I said, "You got bail money? Yeah. Keep some on hand, all right?" But he would just simply do what God had called him to do. Amen. It's over all kinds of stuff. In the South, it was the Ku Klux Klan and prejudice. They had to segregate. And they refused to segregate, and they would arrest him because he didn't segregate the meetings, and he allowed everybody to mingle and sit in different, you know, he didn't sit one group over here and one group over here and separate, and they would arrest him and take him to jail because of that. And in the East, it was city councils and gang members that would, you know, tell him that that was their territory, and he didn't have permission from them to preach the gospel. They'd preach the gospel anyway, and the gangs would try to shut him down. They would do all kinds of stuff, and there was all kinds of fights that would go on and all kinds of trouble that would take place, and a lot of Christian people would be in a situation like that, and they would just be so grieved that oh my, you know, we can't have this kind of stuff, and we got to sit in our pious little churches, and we can't have anybody, you know, doing stuff like that. I got to tell you something. We're coming in a day when you're going to have to learn how to stand up for who you are and do what God called you to do. Amen. Sometimes you got to kick them out. My dad would tell me so many stories that was just, you know, most people just couldn't take it. So he didn't tell most people. But there was times that there would just be all-out war going on while Brother Shambach would be up there preaching the gospel, and my dad's out there engaged in a battle, in war, with gangs and with Ku Klux Klan, and, you know, they would threaten them. And one night they come, a bunch of Ku Klux Klan come into the meeting with guns on their sides, and they come in to shut that meeting down. And Dad went back, Brother Shambach, and said, "Hey, Bobby said there's a bunch of Ku Klux Klan here tonight. They got guns, and they're going to shut this meeting down." And Brother Shambach said, "Where are they sitting at?" Dad told him, said, "Back against that wall back there." He said, "Put 100 more feet of cord on my microphone." And so he got to preaching. And he went right down the aisle, right back to where they're at. He got in front of them boys with the guns, and the Ku Klux Klan got right in front of them. He said, "Boys, you're on my territory now." And he just started laying hands on him in the name of Jesus. Amen. They fell out in the floor. We've got to stop letting things shut our spirits down. If stuff doesn't go our way today, it shuts us down. We can't do that. That's when we need to sing the loudest. That's when we need to worship with more energy than we ever worshiped with before. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Come on, somebody. We've got to learn that sometimes everything doesn't go just real neat and nice. When we, as the body of Christ, we've got to learn to take a stand. You know, they come and got my dad in I think it's New York City. They come and got him and told him in this auditorium and said, "John, these gang members are going in the women's bathroom and terrorizing the women in the bathroom." And Dad went up there, and you know, they were gang members. They were, they were scary. And Dad grabbed one of them and threw him down a stairway and told the rest of them they'd better leave, or they was going to get the same thing. Amen. Come on, somebody. Oh, boy, I just offended some people. Can't do that kind of stuff. Well, you ain't never been in a war. You ain't never been there. Amen. We have our pious little church services where we try to keep everybody comfortable and everybody, we can't, I mean, even the thermostats, we got to try to keep the cold cool and the hot warm. We got to somehow find a happy medium. This isn't a cruise ship. It's a battleship. Amen. Oh, Holy Spirit, why are you doing this to me? We have one thing that we got to focus on today. Praise God. We take our stands against stuff. We have to. Amen. We stand up for what's right. But we got to remember that no matter what happens, we have been given a commission. And that commission is to preach the gospel. That commission is to reach out to people and give them opportunity to get their lives changed, to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. Amen. To know the power of God, to be healed in their bodies, to be transformed, to cast demons out of people that are struggling and suffering and are tormented, and to see them set free. That is our commissioning. Nothing else matters but that. We have to always come back and refocus ourselves, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what kind of things is grabbing for our attention. We got to continually go back and refocus ourselves on this is our job. Amen. Hallelujah. Instead of slowing down and backing off, we're going to speed up and we're going to start doing more than we ever did before. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've got in my spirit, I've been seeing ministry going on all the time. I've been seeing teaching, powerful revelatory teaching. I've been seeing constant prayer and intercession. I've been seeing worship, spirit-led worship, just days of spirit-led worship and people ministering to the sick all the time. Can you imagine if people knew that there was a place they could come? Amen. Those that are suffering and those that are oppressed and possessed. Amen. See, we don't need to separate from the world and hide. This is when we go out. This is when we start moving. This is when we start obeying like we've never obeyed before, doing what God called us to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel like getting my drawing board out and just laying it all out before you this morning. This is what we're going to do right here. Praise God. The Holy Spirit's putting this thing together. But I just want to challenge today. When I come in here, I felt this uneasiness. I felt like we were addled. The church is just kind of addled today. And it's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, we're going to preach the gospel. Amen. We're going to heal the sick. We're going to cast out devils. We're going to reach out to people. We're going to continue to do. We're going to pray like we've never prayed before. We're going to worship in spirit and in truth in a powerful, powerful way. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not going to slow down. We're going to pick up. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. I've never found any good in backing up. Amen. I've had a lot of reasons to back up, but I've never found any benefit in it. Praise God. I'm just going to be blunt with you. I don't care who is president. I do, but you know what I'm talking about? It's not going to change what we do. Amen. If they come to us and say, you can't have that building anymore, well, that ain't going to stop us. Amen. Praise God. I've preached in parking lots. I've preached in fields. I mean, some of the best revivals I remember was in cow pastures where the cow patties were still right there on the ground, and the rocks and the bugs and we've seen the glory of God and the power of God. It doesn't matter. None of this stuff matters. What matters is, do we believe in Jesus Christ? Do we believe in Him? Hallelujah. Praise God. One of the most interesting messages I ever preached is when I had a big grasshopper sitting right on my head. And I preached the whole night, and I kept noticing everybody was looking over my head. Me and Pastor Earl Blansett was holding revival over by Wheelerville, over by Crane. And I noticed everybody was looking over my head. I kept thinking, "Why? I don't know what's going on." And my wife said that there's this big old huge grasshopper on my head. And it would come to the front as I was preaching, come to the front, and just sit there on my head while I was, and then it would walk to the back, and then it'd walk to the front the whole time. There wasn't anybody asleep that night. Everybody was listening because there was a grasshopper on my head. Amen. We don't need all the trappings. What we need is the power. We need Holy Spirit. Amen. Stand with me today. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm praying, Holy Spirit, communicate this in a right way. Praise God. I feel like a little boy on my bicycle with that BB gun again. I'm patrolling my territory. Amen. Praise God. We mean business, and we mean to see the power of God. There's nothing else matters to me right now. I'm not really wanting to get involved in anything except seeing an all-out awakening and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's all that matters to me. Yes. Amen. Praise God. You never know where it's going to break out. I've been asking God that our altars never be empty and our baptistries never be dry, that there be such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The people are being baptized in swimming pools and neighborhoods because the power of God is reaching whole neighborhoods. You say, well, that can't happen. Yes, it can. It's happened before and it's going to happen again. It's happening right now. We are entering into a time where that is absolutely going to take place. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your glory. Thank you, God, for your power. Lord, we need an awakening. We need an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for the battle cry that's coming from heaven today. It's saying, get up. Don't sit down by the river. Don't hang your harps on the willow tree. Father, we want to worship like we've never worshiped before. We want to pray and seek you. We want to walk in the power of your Spirit like we've never known. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for this people that has come here today. They're hungry. They're committed. And Father, I pray you give us direction. Launch us, Lord. Launch us. Thank you, God, for the gifts and anointings that you're calling together and launching. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name, Father. God that you say you worship and serve. Today I believe we need to press in and know him like we've never known him before. Like God introduces to you again. Introduces to what we've been called to, Father. Give you praise for that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Father. You know, if you're here today and you say, I am just cold in my spirit. I don't know that I even really know God, and I'm not ready for this day that we're living in. I'm not ready for this. I know somebody that can get you ready. I know somebody that can change your life. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And He wants to do that today. He wants to change your life today. And I'm just going to take a few minutes here and invite you to get out of your seat and say, Pastor, I want the determination, I want the commitment in my life that you're talking about. I don't want to compromise anymore. I don't want to be cold and indifferent toward God anymore. If you can say that today, I'm going to invite you to get out of your seat and come, and we're going to pray together. We're going to seek God together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. There's a transforming power in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that the fire of God come upon the hearts and lives of your people. Father, I pray that there be a baptism like on the day of Pentecost, Lord God, that we be filled full, Lord God, to speak, Father God. Lord, I ask you to empower your church, empower the body of Christ, so that wherever we're at, your kingdom, Lord God, goes in that place, Father God. Wherever we walk, your spirit walks. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah.